Welcome to this Hungry Planet podcast. I'm Cleo Darcy.
And I'm Darren Eastburn. In each podcast, we will review a major concept or issue, we'll clarify a possible point of confusion, and we'll provide questions for review. The major issue for this week is mycotoxins.
So far, you have learned that plant pathogens can affect our food supply by lowering crop yields or reducing food quality. In some cases, however, plant pathogens can directly affect humans through the chemicals they produce.
Chemicals produced by fungi that are harmful to humans and other animals are called mycotoxins. Mycotoxins can be present in our food without us knowing it because many of them are colorless, odorless, and tasteless. Yet the presence of these substances can make those who consume them very ill. Mycotoxins can get into the food that we eat when fungal pathogens colonize the plants while they are growing in the field, or colonization can begin in storage after the crop has been harvested. Over 300 different mycotoxins have been identified, and they are most commonly found in grains, nuts, and other types of seed crops.
Mycotoxins cause a number of health problems for humans and other animals. Some mycotoxins are highly carcinogenic, causing liver and esophageal cancers. Others cause birth defects, suppress the immune system, induce abortions, are hallucinogenic, cause restriction of blood vessels, or induce vomiting. So we definitely want to keep mycotoxins out of the food that we eat and the feed that we give to livestock and pets.
Unfortunately, mycotoxins can be difficult to detect. Even grains that show no visible signs of fungal infection can contain dangerous levels of mycotoxins. And once present in a food crop, they can be very difficult to get rid of. Many of these toxins are heat stable, which means that they do not break down when the food is cooked or processed. Detections of mycotoxins in loads of grain is further complicated by the fact that the mold growth tends to occur in clumps or pockets. Thus, mycotoxins are not uniformly distributed, which makes it very important to design a sampling strategy that will accurately measure the mycotoxin levels present. If the sampling pattern does not happen to include the affected area, the load would test clean for mycotoxins. And since mycotoxins are harmful in very low concentrations, a small amount of contaminated grain can result in an unacceptable level of mycotoxins in a larger amount of grain.
People and animals may avoid eating foods that are obviously moldy, thus reducing our risk of consuming mycotoxins. However, some of the worst poisonings occur when people have no choice but to eat moldy food or else they will starve. And once mycotoxin-contaminated commodities are processed and used to make food products, the ability of the consumer to perceive a potential health hazard is lost. You probably would not eat a moldy peanut, but you probably have eaten peanut butter containing some level of mycotoxin.
In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, has set the maximum allowable levels of some mycotoxins, including aflatoxins, fumonisins, and vomitoxin, but the levels of other mycotoxins are not regulated or routinely screened for. The presence of mycotoxins also can have an effect on international trade, as different countries set different standards for the types and levels of mycotoxins that are allowed to be present. So a load of grain that is acceptable to one country may be unacceptable to another.
Because mycotoxins are very difficult to remove once they are produced in a commodity, the best way to deal with them is to prevent them from forming in the first place. This can be done by growing crop varieties that are resistant to the fungi that produce mycotoxins, or by limiting the environmental conditions that favor infection by these pathogens and the formation of mycotoxins, either in storage or in the field.
This week's point of confusion is the difference between mycotoxins and the fungi that produce them. Occasionally, you may see statements like, aflatoxins infect and grow in corn kernels, or perhaps, people who eat grain containing Aspergillus flavus can develop liver cancer. The authors of these statements are confusing the mycotoxin, a chemical substance, with the fungus, the living organism that produces it.
It is the fungal pathogen that infects and colonizes the host tissue, such as a corn kernel. Under certain conditions, the mycelium of the fungus will produce a mycotoxin, which then diffuses into the host tissue. Once this occurs, the fungus can die off, but the toxin will still be present. So it is possible for the fungus to colonize the tissue, but little or no mycotoxin be present. Conversely, there can be mycotoxin in the tissue, but no living fungus present if the fungus dies after producing the mycotoxin. However, the fungus had to be growing in the tissue at some point for mycotoxin to be present. If you prevent the growth of the fungus in the first place, you will prevent the formation of mycotoxins.
If you can answer the following questions, congratulations! You have mastered some new terms and some important ideas in plant pathology.
What are mycotoxins, and what kind of health problems can they cause?
Why are mycotoxins difficult to detect in loads of grain or in food products?
How are mycotoxins regulated and managed?
Which comes first, the fungal pathogen or the mycotoxin?
We're Darcy
and Eastburn
for Hungry Planet.